Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Andrew Cole.
We're talking about this morning, the story continues. You know, the story actually is not just our story, but it's actually the story of redemption. But you know, we are a part of that story. You are a part of that story. Us as a generation, this generation, whether you're 5 or whether you're 105. I did see Les here this morning, didn't I? Yes. And it doesn't matter how, your age, we are a part of this generation. This generation is a part of the story of redemption. And we have to take our responsibility as partnering with God, being about His business, to step into our place in history, to step into the place where God is going to partner with us. And we have to be about His business. When I say we have to, yeah, I really want us to. And because I think it's so important. Because there are generations to come after us. And whose shoulders are they going to stand on if we don't take our place? The story of redemption will continue. But are we going to be a part of it or are we not? And if we're a part of that, we help the next and the next and the next. I want to be a part of helping the now generation, but I want to be there for the next generation to climb on our shoulders, to do even greater things than us, to go further and be bolder, to shout the name of Jesus, to be able to present the gospel to a world that is crying out. And you know, I pray that sometimes we might be able to use words in that. But what are we going to be able to do if we don't take our place? If you have breath in your lungs this morning, does everybody have breath in their lungs? Just checking. Good. There's only one hand. Does that mean everyone else is not breathing? Then you have a purpose. Then God has purposed you here for a plan and a time just now. For time, what's the saying? For such a time as this. It's not a saying, it's actually scripture, but anyway. So today, where I'm trying to get to, is a part of our story that continues. And we get the opportunity to step into that place again and again. See, hindsight, who loves hindsight? It would save us a whole heap of things. But hindsight is a wonderful thing to be able to see. But our faith journey isn't about looking back, is it? It's about constantly moving forward in the steps that have been set before us. It's a faith journey. In fact, in Luke, it says that if we look back, that we are not even fit for the kingdom of God. I know that's slightly out of context, but overall, that is actually true. If we go back, if we start this journey and we think, oh, I'm sort of all in or all out. So if we're gonna, like when we planted this church, when I look back, I think to myself, what were we thinking? Why would you do that? But at the time, it was all in. It was no way out. I wasn't testing the waters. I wasn't putting anything before God to say, hey, God, if you build it to this amount of numbers or this straight away, then we'll keep going. Or if there's interest, then we'll keep going. It was just like, I didn't even care. I just knew that we had to do it and we were going to do it and we started. And we've never thought about shutting the doors, only when they tried to make us shut the doors, which we balked at all the whole time. Like we wanted to, the church doors need to be open. Open physically, but we need to keep the doors of a church open. It burdens me seeing churches close down. It burdens me seeing for sale sign on churches. It burdens me churches that were once alive and now bottle shops or op shops or cafes. It burdens me that we built something originally and now we sell them off. And we forget about the ones and the twos. I serve a God that goes, that leaves the 99 and goes for the one. Because he knows the 99 will be okay. But we've got to stick to the ones. Because the ones becomes twos and the two become four. And then God's multiplication, the four becomes 400. And we start to spread the gospel in every corner of this world. So let us not, if you see a for sale sign at church, go and tear it down. Just don't use my name. And say, this is not for sale. This is for the glory of God. Anyway, that's not even in my notes, so I'm sorry, I'm going to be even later now. So your hindsight is a wonderful thing. We spoke about things last year about the year of momentum. Momentum was about the Israelites would pile up rocks at certain times as monuments of what God had done. They weren't a memorial, they weren't a grave site, they were a monument of how amazing God was. God did something amazing. They'd pile up rocks and you could go back to find motivation from it and inspiration. You don't go looking back saying, I want those days back. It was going, God, that's right, you did that then. That fueled you to keep going. So we're not looking back from that perspective. We're looking back to say how gracious and how good God was. So those rocks were points of references, God's gracious hand, miracles and his leading. So a part of today is that we are looking back a little. We're going to look back as far as 2023, not that long ago. So in July 23, if you remember, we received our first ever first fruits offering. First fruits means the promise to come. So the purpose was to be in our own place. For those that are around, you'll remember that. And what started was that we would fulfill the promise for us to purchase this building, the one we're in. Unfortunately, I don't want to beat around the bush, that promise with our owners of this building was broken. We had a thing in place and it was broken. And I'm not in any way bitter and twisted or shaking in that, maybe a little bit, but no. At that time, it was broken. So there's no other way to say that. We had an agreement and it was broken. But I'd felt a stirring of urgency in that year that there was something different going to have take place. I'd felt that year was going to be filled with opportunities. Firstly, we had changed our own structure as a church that we're able to continue to allow people to move into areas and they can express their leadership and they can grow in those gifts and allow others to grow and develop at the same time and to find their fit. Now, at that time, that process had only just begun and was always going to continue. It's still continuing to this day. It will always continue. We will always tweak it and massage it into place to make sure it works for the season we're in. It takes time for confidence to build and trust to form as we ventured into areas that we had never been before. One of the things that we say in this church, especially early on, is that we would have people that were involved in other churches that would come here and we'd start something and they would often say, I've been there and done that. I was quick to jump on that because we have never been this way before. If you remember what Joshua was talking about, that we'd never been this way before. Be strong and courageous because we've never been this way before. You have never been in this building right now at this time listening to this message ever before. You may have been in a similar place in a similar message, but never right now. So we have never been this way before. So before we even started the journey of hope, a prophetic word was spoken over my life that I should look forward and engage in the battle, to stop looking to see who was with me, knowing that God will look after that. That was hard to do at that time. I knew that the army behind me or alongside of me was filled with armed people. Some that we had helped equip and others that were ready-made warriors and joined the battle. They'd had their equipping done elsewhere, that they'd had their training done elsewhere and they'd come to be a part of an army again. What is the battle? What was that battle that I was talking about? Well, it's not against flesh and blood. We need to make that really clear. Far, far too many churches, and I'm I'm watching one go through it right now where the fight becomes against flesh and blood and it tears people down. We were a part of one that it became about flesh and blood, even though that there was warnings given to us as a church, not this church, another church I was in, to say the fight wasn't against flesh and blood. But how we get around that is we say that it is a spiritual battle, but people become collateral damage in that battle. Just so you know, it's absolute rubbish. It's a cop-out. It's absolutely a stinking lie. I'm sorry to be so blunt. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. You are not collateral damage. You should never be collateral damage in a church, politics, and church's disputes. We need to get on our knees and we need to repent and go humbly before your God and say our fight is against principalities and powers, and that's where it is. And my Bible tells me, we did a whole series on this, my Bible tells me that we should be armed and stand firm and ready. But the battle belongs to the Lord, not us. So in all of that, this was this battle that I was almost facing myself, and it was just an interesting period of time. But as we engage and occupy, people will meet their creator. This is what this word said, that as we engage and occupy, people would meet their creator, chains would be broken, the captives set free. And from that morning that I preached that message in July, I read from Isaiah 61. I want you to allow me, if you can, to read from that chapter again. It's speaking of Jesus being the long-promised Spirit-anointed deliverer of God's people and speaks of the blessings that come to God's people if they are faithful to him. We heard a message very early on in this church and it was about being faithful. Faithful, 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 and fruit will come. You're going to hear a story this morning about faithful people. And I'm believing that fruit will come. So in Isaiah 61, it says this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the Lord's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness they will be like great oaks that the Lord had planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they had been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants and they will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding or a bride with her jewels. The Sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring with plants springing up everywhere. The time has come. The stirring of my heart is that the time has come. The time has come for some here." This is what we spoke about, and I still believe it's relevant for today. "The time has come for salvation has come. For some, healing has come. For some, activation, favor, overcoming, victory, belonging, fulfillment, releasing has come. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 to 2, we spoke about as God's partners, that's you and I, as we partner with God. This is the word saying this, not me. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Our story continues, is about the redemption of mankind and our place in the history of this. In Isaiah 60, these scriptures weren't just scriptures that I found good for the day. I felt they had a prophetic edge to them, no more than this one. In Isaiah 60, verse 21 to 22, all your people will be righteous. They will possess their land forever, for I will plant them there with my own hands in order to bring myself glory. The smallest family will become 1,000 people, and the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. Our purpose and our role is to keep moving forward. Our purpose and role is not to tell God when to do something. God's timing is the right time. In our own lives, in your situations, you may be struggling with some faith areas in your life. Can I just encourage you? Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Keep abiding in Him. Keep looking to Him. Don't listen to the noise. Listen to God. Read His word. Get it in your heart and keep moving forward. The biggest prayer you can pray in those times when you're building faith in your life, God, help my unbelief. It's okay to say that. It's okay when you get to somewhere that you don't know what's going to happen, a bit like the valley of dry bones, when the Son of Man said, hey, can these bones live? Basically, he says, I don't know. He says, I don't know. He didn't say those words, I don't know. He said, only you know that. In other words, it's a glorious way, a Christian way of saying, I have no idea. I don't know. There are a bunch of dry bones. What do you mean? Somebody saw a vast army, but he didn't. I don't know. Some people will see a vast army. Some of us here will say, I actually don't know. Your I don't knows are okay with God. It's what you do with the I don't knows is important. If you don't know, then you listen. Because God will whisper. And when God whispers, you repeat it. Those dry bones become a vast army. Purely because we listen if we don't know. So in those times of faith issues, in those times, trust me, the reason I can say this is because later on in this message, I'll tell you a day that I stood before you when I didn't know. And you thought Nathan was shaking going into a new church. I was shaking. My knees were shaking. And trust me, my knees should not shake because they will fall apart. And I knew that my knees were shaking. But I knew I had to speak a message. And the message was of faith. And the whole time I was saying it, God, help my unbelief in this because I now don't know anymore because I'm fresh out of ideas and I didn't want to lie. I just needed to go to God. So we'll talk about that. In Habakkuk 2, it speaks of the urgency of God we went on to, God's time and how it encouraged us to embrace His divine intervention in our lives. And can we open our hearts and minds to God's word, the promise of God's appointed time? Can you claim that for your own life? In the passage of Habakkuk 2:3, the prophet wrestles with the injustices and evil surrounding him. He cries out to God, seeking answers and longing for justice. In response, God reveals a profound truth in it. He says, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. And it may seem slow, wait for it. It will surely come and it will not delay. God knows. It's God's time, not our time. Who knows that if we got what we wanted from God when we wanted it, it'd be a disaster. The verse reminds us that God's promises have an appointed time, a divine schedule that aligns perfectly with his purposes. God's timing is not arbitrary or accidental. It is intentional and strategic. Although it may seem slow or delayed from our perspective, God assures us that his promises will surely come to pass. He is faithful and his word will never fail. And as we wait for his fulfillment of his promises, we can rest in the assurance that his timing is perfect. Look, I'm going to have to skip some of this purely because of time. But there was a few people at this time that spoke into our lives, spoke into this church's life. One, who remembers Gabe? Okay, who loves Gabe? He's not that good. He's a cattle farmer now. So he's a wonderful, wonderful man. We were blessed to have him while we did. But he sent me this email from overseas. He said, love to you as a church from the USA. Praying you are going well when he misses us. I said, well, I don't know whether you miss us or whether you be here. But he said, I need to share. I had a dream. And when we were having a conversation together and no idea what was going on with you, but I heard myself talking to you in my dream about remembering just how big your God is. Nothing is impossible for those that believe. So when I woke up and what I wanted to say was God is about to do something really big in your life and to show you off his miracle-working power. We will be praying for you all. We love you all. That was 2020, the end of 2023. And Matt Potts at Easter of 24, I think it was. No, it must have been 23 as well. He said, it's time to dream again. You'll see the optimistic possibilities, but then push further into impossibility. God's building a hub and Cowan Street here is too limiting. It doesn't demonstrate the wider mindset God wants to do with multiple hundreds in one service. He's expanding newer, bigger, deeper foundations for a national hope footprint. You saw what he did at Cowan Street. Imagine what's next with the next phase. Imagine then push bigger. A guy called Eka said this, it's not enough to be in the right place at the right time. You have to be the right people in the right place at the right time. In Matthew 14, when Jesus had to feed the 5,000, you've got to start with what you have. That's all we can do. We start with what we have. They had some fish and some bread to feed 5,000 plus, and there was enough left over. Exodus 4, Moses with a staff, use what's in your hand. The story continues. After the broken promise of this place, the Lutheran Church in, I don't know what street it is, Emmanuel, became a potential purpose. It was exciting and filled with the what-ifs of God. I didn't want to present it at the church, but it came out quicker than what I wanted. So we told you about it. Fast forward, lots of conversations and somewhat frustrations of the wait, only to find that the door closed for that time. So the first day of summer, December 2024, I released Seasons 2025. I spoke about that we did a series a long time ago, back in the rec centre days, about the Israelites and the battles of the Israelites in the Old Testament. During that series, the overwhelming theme was a battle belongs to the Lord. Scriptures in 1 Samuel, 2 Chronicles, Exodus, Zechariah, Proverbs, Ephesians, Isaiah, just to name a few. That we have to be ready, turn up and stand firm, but the battle belongs to him. Those words are still true today. And to be honest, my reflection of this year and every year is the same. The battle belongs to the Lord. Every year is a battle without fail. I'm okay with that because the battle belongs to him. I said this once, I had a pastor and he stood before a congregation who says, I won't fight anymore. I can't fight. There was something that was, it was a long story, but it was something that we were going to give up as a church. And when I heard those words come out of his mouth, my heart broke and sank. And I thought, no. I need you to fight, not against flesh and blood, but I need you to be up for the battle. I've always said, the moment I'm not up for the battle, I'll step off of here and someone else can be here. As it is right now, I'm still up for the battle. I'm still up to fight every single year because I know there's going to be a battle every single year, no matter what. I would much rather days of peace, but I know we're in a spiritual warfare battle. And this is the house of God, and we're talking about people's lives and salvation and care and connection and love, connecting them with their Creator, having captives set free. The enemy does not want the word preached. He does not want redemption to take place. He wants it kiboshed. He wants it put to the side. He wants for sale signs put up at churches. So as it stands at this point, we keep looking forward, but we had other opportunities. But right now, I said, my faith is in God for the right next step. I then spoke a message about from Haggai, and in that story, it was about that Zerubbabel needed a word from God. He was fighting battles, neighbours that were going to overthrow him. He needed a word from God. God gave him a word in a message from Haggai in his fourth message. And at the end of it, I won't go into all the details, but he gave him the I wills. I will take you, I will make you, and I have chosen you. And that was enough for him to keep leading forward. He kept going forward. He became in the bloodline of Christ. So he kept moving forward. I guess for me, that's what I needed. I needed to come before you and say, hey, we're going to keep moving forward. I don't know where, but that message about the I wills was an absolute faith message. I say it to you now, I did not know, I would not know, I had no idea. I just knew I needed to speak it. I knew I needed to get it in my heart. Did I believe it? It didn't matter whether I believed it. It was my faith working at that point. And you have these things in your life. See, this is not just about the church. It's for you as individuals as well. You will come across disappointment after disappointment. You'll come to a place and there'll be grief, there'll be loss, there'll be something. And you'll say, what's the point? I've given up. I have nothing else. Allow your faith to kick in. Put your faith in your God. Because I will, he says. The promises of God over your life are always yes and amen. He loves you not to leave you there. He will never fail. His love is unfailing. Is it all going to be easy? No. But what is? Take God out of the picture and tell me it's easy. Put God in the picture and tell me it's easy. It's not all easy. That's just life. But I'm glad I can put my faith into my God, not into anything else that's going to always let me down. Staying on the journey. To start is easy. To persevere is another story altogether. In our Christian faith, it's not about how you start, but how you finish and how you keep going. Today, I'm still believing that God has this timely message for us, for me, for you, and us as a church. And as people of God, we are equipped by God to deal with difficult times. God will encourage us, and our encouragement will come from the Word of God. I pray that you will always be inspired by the Word, to always remain excited about the Word, and be thrilled about what it says. I won't go into any more about the things of Zerubbabel, but the first thing you get God reminded of is God is in control. So I just say to you, for your situation, God is in control. And out the back, for anybody that is in a situation that they don't know, can I encourage you this morning that God sees you and God is in control. He will take you and he will make you and he has chosen you. So that's where we got to in December. So it's been a faith journey since then of where we go as a church. 1st of December, we preached that. 6 months later, I got a phone call. And this is where I'm going to invite my dear friend, Michael. So can I have those stools? We may as well. And I need another mic. Sorry, I should have organised that. Sorry. So this is Pastor Michael Parker. Commonly known as the last few weeks as Peter Parker's brother, but he doesn't know that. So you're Spider-Man's brother. Heard from Michael in June, don't know exactly when, but he gave me this phone call. I've known of Michael. Michael was a Crosslink pastor, that's the network we're in. Brian Medway has talked to me about Michael and his work in the APY lands that he can talk to you about. So I had never met him, but I knew of him. And then I got this phone call. So Michael, would you like to share what that phone call was? And we'll start this story that we don't know how we're going to unfold together.
First of all, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Yep, the phone call was one prompted by God that I had ignored for 18 months, me of little faith. Brian Medway, the leader of Crosslink, had said, look, you need to get in touch with this guy in Gawler. He's got a church that's doing some good things and he's got some young leaders that are emerging and he might be able to fill your need. And I probably need to explain the need first, which will make sense of the phone call. Elizabeth, Good News Church in Elizabeth, started about 60 years ago with some migrants, from Dutch migrants who, in faith, built a church and literally built it with their own hands. And it boomed and they filled it up, mainly with children, and it was bursting at the seams. And as happens, when you restrict your vision to this is just a church for us, for our families, families move away, people pass away, and churches go on this growth and then they start to decrease unless they listen to a new vision from God. And it's arguable that the church just wasn't open to hearing about a new vision from God because of how they saw themselves as God's people. And so gradually it's been decreasing, and about 10 years ago they got in touch with their denomination and said, look, come and help us, we need some help. And somebody came across and said to them, well, your church is dead. You need to look at closing the doors and moving into other churches. And to their credit and to their faith, that small group of people said, no. God planted us here. God wants us here. And God needs us here to proclaim the name of Jesus. And so they just said a flat no. What's your other options? And then this guy who came offered a prophetic message that he didn't know was prophetic at the time, and coming out of a denomination that's not into uttering prophetic messages, he said, well, then you need to repot the church. And so this whole theme of repotting came about, and the church got excited and said, yep, we'll repot. And the pastor was highly motivated, and it was about that time that I got invited to come along and just be an occasional preacher at the church on a Sunday night. And we had conversations about what repotting meant and what changes might need to happen, and a few people said, no, this is too hard, and they stepped away. And so the numbers even went backwards, and for those remaining it was, oh, God, this is not what we want. And then Pastor Reg got a lesion on the brain and very quickly deteriorated. And once again, people were asking, God, what are you doing? Where are you? And at that time, they asked me whether I would just take over some more of the responsibilities. And then Pastor Reg died, and it was another of those moments. But the will of the people was, no, God put us here. He has a purpose for us. We just need to find that purpose. And so we began a series of prayer meetings and encouraging the church to pray and look for a future. And at that point, they asked me whether I would become their full-time pastor. And I went away and prayed about it, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly and said, no, it's not you. It needs to be someone younger, someone who will be able to do the work that you're no longer able to do. So I reported that back to the church, and again it was, oh, where is God? What's happening? And we began to talk about, well, we have this vision. God is faithful. He does want this community to hear about his son. Let's move forward. And we're talking about a small group of about 15 people. 10 of them would be in their 70s and 80s. Yep. Faithful as. And do you know, over the last 5 years, they've put a new roof on the church. They have gutted and rebuilt the manse, the house for a pastor, in preparation. They have bought a bus to cart young people around, and the youngest of us is about 57. So they have been stepping forward in faith, and the cross on the front of the church has been lit up so that at night it will be a beacon. And we've put up new screens, and they've bought a new sound system, and cameras are there ready to go to be able to transmit the word of God out into the world for funerals, for weddings. And they saw more people drop away. A couple of people passed away. The main elder one day just didn't turn up to an elders' meeting and sent a message saying, that's it, I'm finished. And this small group of people, growing smaller, continued in faith to prepare the house of God for the people to come. And it's been a really interesting journey of walking alongside of these people, encouraging them in their faith, being awed by their faithfulness. We have an 87, 88-year-old lady who every Wednesday runs an op shop, and she lives for that ministry, and she lives for the prayers that she shares with those people, and she's supposed to be selling clothes to them, and you know what she does? She gives them away. And just says, God bless you. And it's just remarkable. But at the beginning of this year, my wife Judy and I were on holidays, and we'd been wondering, well, God, what's the next season for us? Where do you want us? And we went to a church in Port Lincoln, and we came out and we both said to one another, we need to sell our house and get ready for what God is doing. So we did that. And I came back and I said, well, God is doing something new. We've got no idea what, but the church needs to be cared for. I'm not going to walk away from them because too many people have walked away from them. So I remembered that Brian had said, ring this Andrew Cole fellow. And I've been around the church for a little while, and I thought, okay, one of these up-and-coming young Tyros. I just wondered what he might be like, and, you know, whether he was, more businessman than man of God, and all of these questions, but God kept prompting, and so I made the phone call. Long journey to get to this phone call, I'm sorry. But I said to him, look, Brian has made contact. He said to ring you, and we're looking for a new way forward. And we've got, and I just described the church in broad terms, and said, is there any way you can help us? And he said, oh, dear, I don't know if it's us. No, he didn't. He said, yes, indeed. And there was, in our phone call even, just a connection that we both felt of kindred spirits. And I believe Andrew felt that this was God calling. And so I said, well, let's get together and let's see what God wants to do with us. Yeah.
That's amazing. So over the last couple of months, we've had different conversations and I went down there and preached, which I was scared spitless. Me preaching in a Reformed church, this was like, wow, I wonder if I'm going to be stoned. But there were little things in the service that I was so blessed with, blown away by, even to the little thing. You know how I've been speaking the blessing over the church? And then at the end, I was going to do that there, and I thought, well, I don't even know whether I'm allowed to do that here. So I apologised before I spoke anyway. I said, if I say anything wrong, I'm sorry. And so then I spoke the blessing, and then up on the screen, they're brand new screens, come up the word, the blessing on there, and I thought, oh, I wonder if I've done something wrong. And then I hand it back to Michael after I spoke it, and then he goes, well, Andrew sort of stole my thunder here, but we'll say it anyway. Exact same. And that's what they do all the time, and I have no idea. And it's, I know that's maybe really silly, but it's just those things that do something in your heart, and you think, man, it's just crazy. I grew up in Elizabeth for a while, and I'm not going to make any qualms. I don't like Elizabeth, sorry. I don't like the poverty. I don't like the need. I'm really sorry because that's how I felt. I've never, ever wanted to live there ever again. And where this church is like about 2 kilometres from where I lived. I cried going up John Rice Avenue. I'm thinking, no, I don't want to go down this road again. But when you then walk in and you listen to people's stories and you see Greta, who had been on her knees troweling the foundation of that church 60 years prior, who has still got a fire in her belly to share the redemptive story of God, you can't help but love people. So you start to love and they get into your heart, and it's been an interesting journey. We've gone through different meetings and they've gone through their meetings. We've gone through some of our meetings, even from a board level. We've got to work out what we were going to do and what that looks like for us. I had to think about it from a resource perspective, what drain, what it was going to be, what we could do. I didn't want to let them down. I didn't want to wear us even thinner. And I just thought, I looked at that. Can these bones live? That's what I walked in, says, I don't know. I have no idea. So at that moment, I'm just listening. God's been speaking and it's been great. And I get excited about it. I sat in a meeting. When I was sick the other day, I had to have a meeting there after they were voting as a church. And I went down there and we were sitting around their coffee table, their coffee time. And all of a sudden, Greta says, okay, what's going to happen with the thrift shop? I said, what would you like to do with the thrift shop? She goes, expand it. I said, okay. Then someone else pops up and says, can we do a men's shed? I said, do we need to do a men's shed? Yeah. Okay. So I'm sitting there and I was going to turn to Michael and say, like, what's the problem? Where's all this vision come from? What have you been doing for the last 10 years then? You don't need me. You've got all the vision. I'm not just going to say, but they're off. They're bang. We can do this. We can do that. I was down there the other day and they're saying, hey, we could do this. I said, okay, yeah, we can do that. Sure. We're going to do this part. Okay, let's do that as well. And it's just, they've got fires in them. They've got burning hearts. And it's not just for the young adults. They've got burning hearts that Jesus lit a fire and they're fanning it back into a flame, no matter the age. Now, I don't know what the future holds. But I can tell you the end result to that is, Ken can put that up on the screen, is we have now that. The funny story is for 5 years ago, they set them on a journey about repotting. Our journey over the last few years is, I don't know, we had this, it gets broken. We get this, that promise gets broken. We think about this and that may happen. We do this and that happens. I think, man, You get to the point where then they start doing something and theirs gets broken. We have to continually be faithful to God. In our own lives, just because something breaks, you don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. He's weaving this scarlet thread. Remember we talked about it, making this awesome picture behind the scenes. How on earth Jesus got a scarlet thread from Elizabeth into my heart, into the heart of this church, enough that we'll put hope on it? Man, God is amazing, because I wasn't ready. I am still not ready, but I'm still prepared to fight. Let me tell you now also, just from a, this is a part of the story, it's not the story. We have a new, this is the main part of the story, we have a new community to evangelize. And we can bring hope to that and help the existing burning hearts burn a brighter fire down there. Churches have to be attractional and missional. They're missional. We just need to make them a little bit more attractional and people will come. The idea of lighting up a cross, it's attractional. People will come because it'll be a beacon of hope. That's what I want it to be, a beacon of hope. It's a community that needs hope. It needs Jesus. And it needs kind-hearted people that are willing to be a part and take their place in the redemptive story of mankind, humanity.
Can I jump in just for 1 second? You really need to understand that this is a very conservative church, and even the word Pentecostal created fear and anxiety a few years ago. And so I mentioned this prophetic word repotting. This is meant for these people. They've had to let go of a tradition that's been very strong in their lives. And they have done so with this thought that we need to die in order to bring life. And one of the our elder emeritus, Des, who a couple of months ago was against this sort of change, last Sunday, as we were about to have a formal meeting for all of the law side of it, he stood up and he said to the group there, he said, "Now, before we decide on this, you need to remember that we are all children of God, that we are one church, that we need to stand with our brothers and sisters with the sole purpose of proclaiming Jesus as Lord." And then he sat down. And then we voted. And you know, there were some new visitors there, because God's been doing something interesting ever since that phone call. We've had some new people wandering in. And they said, "Oh, do we need to go now?" And everyone said, "No, you're part of us. You can put your hand up or not if you like." And so I put it to them. I said, "Look, do we let go of Good News Church Elizabeth and become Hope Chapel Church Elizabeth?" And every hand in that room went straight up. In fact, in a couple of situations, two hands went up, because they were saying that their friend who couldn't be there last Sunday was also in favour. And the next question for me was, well, when are they starting? When are they coming? So that's where they're at. They have, God has been just leading them forward. I, of course, said, "Well, thanks very much, guys. I'll leave you with it now. But no, we're going to do some sort of deal where I'll stick around." It can't describe to you the miracle that God has done in the lives of these people, that they've been able to step out of the binding of religiosity into a kingdom-mindedness. And I just praise and thank God for that.
Yep. Give me 2 more minutes and we'll close. The guys can come up. I guess something that it doesn't often get spoken about in church, but I'm going to speak about it. I'm going to go there. But, you know, this church is 60 years old. They've been faithful, faithful, faithful people. They have been good stewards of finance. They have been good stewards with every resource that they have. it's not just handing over a church. They're handing over 60 years of stewardship and faithfulness into our stewardship, and we become one. That is, if you can get our heads around how big that is, we're talking about if we had purchased the Lutheran Church, we would have quite a large mortgage of a certain value. With assets, and the stewardship that they have equals basically the same amount of money. So we don't owe the money. It becomes an asset for us to steward. If you can get our heads around how good that is for Gawler, for Kadena, but us for them, this is a two-way street. I believe we'll be good for them. They're good for us. We're good together. It will build, I believe. I believe God's heart is stirred by the faithfulness of people that have been there for 60 years. When Nathan said he hadn't been to another church, there is Rob, a guy called Rob and Paul there, which is Greta's sons. They have never been to another church. How old are they?
64 and 57. Never attended another.
They've never been to another church. You're lucky you got out quick. But you see the size of the decision? It is huge. What a responsibility. So the weight of that. But there's another fight now, and we'll keep fighting. I just wanted to share that story. I know it's gone over time. I'm sorry. We'll take it off next week. I know. That God is faithful. God has got you in your life. God has got us as a church. So now ask me if the bones can live. I said, what are you talking about? It's a vast army. Anyone can see that. Now I see, because hindsight has made me able to see. But what's next? I don't know what's next. We have got another opportunity for us in Gawler. So by the way, just don't get confused. Gawler is not moving to Elizabeth, okay? I don't want to hear that. We're not moving to Elizabeth. But Gawler, this church here, has an opportunity as well. We have working with some generous people to have the usage of 2 acres of land along the main North Road. This changes a whole lot of stories, scenarios before us. We will keep moving forward and see where God leads us. God has it under control. God is faithful. My faith is stronger today than it was on the 1st of December, I can assure you of that. My faith is stronger for us as a church. It's stronger for you as an individual. And I tell you, there's been some storms of recent weeks, and we are looking at them differently. We are looking at things differently. I'm more confident, not in myself, not in us. I'm more confident in God. Watch what God does. Watch what God does. Please be a part of what God does. It's exciting. God is good. These are beautiful people. I have a heart connection with Michael and Judith. In actual fact, Michael's credentials is as a pastor, because he's a Crosslink pastor. He'll come under our church now as well. They will regularly visit, but from time to time. He does a lot of missions work, and he'll basically be put down as Crosslink as a missions pastor. So we don't just get that. We get Michael and Judith. They are quality people. Quality people. They'll live in Victor Harbour. They'll church down there. But when they're around, they'll come up here. He's got a great thing happening in Truro, so we're going to be his best friend. But, like, there are some amazing things happening. I don't know what. I can just know. And let me finish with a message that Brian Medway sent to us this morning. And we'll close on this. Singers can come up. Transformational incidents. The more I get to understand the ways of God, the more I value the unanticipated but God-planned incidents that God has put together to make sure we wrap ourselves around his purpose. Many of those are what I call heart connections. They don't happen because of our great skill or explicit planning. They happen by the Holy Spirit, and the connection is organic, heartfelt, and outside our normal boundaries. Through these connections, we get to see the kingdom beyond our own capacity. And when we follow after what God puts in front of us, it becomes a very special expression of God's kingdom purposes. I think this is what God is doing through the connection between Hope and Michael and Elizabeth and other places. These are special gifts from God and create special challenges, but they are so full of God's character and purpose. I say yes and amen to all of that. So thank you for allowing us to go a little bit beyond time. Not that you really said yes or no to, but we did it. But it's the story of redemption of humanity continuing. Please, all of us, no matter your age, no matter where you are in your faith, jump into this space. Jump into this space and be a part of history of this journey that we're on. We only get one shot at it. We only get one chance. Right now, there are so many opportunities in front of us. I don't know where to begin, but I know God's got us. And God's got you in your situation. God bless you. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Michael and Judith, for coming with us today. And let's go out praising God and hang around for a coffee.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.